You may be seated. We have two readings this morning. The first is from the Old Testament and is in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. I'm reading the New International Version. It's known as a time for everything. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. The next reading is from the New Testament, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. This is when Jesus was at the home of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
Good morning, congregation. How are you? How are you?
Good.
No complaints. No anxieties. No worries. You are simply here today, full of joy, absent of any sort of feelings like tomorrow might be difficult. Am I right? No. I would certainly hope not, because I'm trying to figure out exactly who you are, and I have a feeling you are a loving congregation. I spoke with your pastor, and I want to tell you how pleased I am to be here. I happen to know some people in this congregation because I grew up at the Redford Church. You know, to hear Claire talk about, give a little introduction of myself, I would have never guessed, probably 48 years ago, that Claire would be standing in front of a congregation introducing me. Claire took me from Cherub Choir. Where is Claire? Did she sneak out? She didn't want to hear the sermon, you see. She knew better than you. From the time I was in Cherub Choir, if it weren't for Claire, I would have probably no interest in music at all. Claire nurtured that seed and watered that seed and helped me along in wonderful ways. Kelly, thank you for your work this morning. Eileen, thank you. Jeannie, that was beautiful. I truly appreciate your music this morning. On behalf of the Detroit Annual Conference, our Bishop Jonathan Keaton and the Cabinet, I want to tell you how happy I am to be here this morning. I want to share a message with you. I've been looking forward to this ever since Pastor Jeff called me and asked me if I would be willing to preach. I have not preached since June the 20th. And so, you know, hold on. I hope you're really comfortable, because I got a lot of stuff that I want to get off my chest, you know. What do you say we bow our heads and have a word of prayer? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be worthy and acceptable in thy sight, O Lord and Creator. Amen. So I asked you before how happy you were. Is there anybody who's a little anxious this morning? Anybody who's a little anxious this morning? Nobody's willing to admit to it, huh? Are you anxious? Thank you very much. The only truthful man in the entire room. Anybody anxious about tomorrow morning? You know, it's Monday, you got to go to work. Yeah, there's a short. That's when you know you're really anxious, is when somebody volunteers like this. They're not quite sure. Anxiety is something that encompasses our lives many times, we modern people. You know, as if we don't have enough things to be anxious about, we watch the news, we read our Inquirer magazines, we fill our heads full of all kinds of things to worry about. You know, I'm usually a guy that tries not to worry too much about things. I spent the night at my mother's house last night, and amongst, you know, now that I'm a district superintendent, I have all kinds of things that are constantly going through my head. And when I went to bed last night, I wasn't anxious about too much, but in the middle of the night, I realized that I should have been. As I was laying there in bed, the bed goes up against some windows that are higher up in the room, and there she had some sun catchers, you know, with those suction cups on the window. And right in the middle of the night, as my 100-pound chocolate lab is laying next to me and we're sleeping, wham, right into my head came one of the sun catchers. And so you even have to worry about where you sleep, where you put your head down. You can imagine when I climb into the bed next time how worried I will be. I also read a story this past week that they are retiring the vanilla flavor from 31 flavors. Now, I know that this may not seem important to you, but like you, I love ice cream. And in the full scheme of things, my goodness, how can you retire vanilla? Whose idea was that? Vanilla. Vanilla is a mainstay. You can't retire vanilla. They have flavors that you don't even know what they are, but they're retiring vanilla. They have onion-flavored, sort of liver-flavored something, ice cream, and they retired vanilla. I'm here to tell you this morning that in the full scheme of things, it's not something you want to spend a lot of time on, but my point is, don't we have an awful lot to be worried about? Some nonsensical, and some very, very important. Martha and Mary bring us a wonderful message today, as the book of Ecclesiastes does, about that there was a time for everything. Now, as you heard the story about Martha and Mary, let me ask you, who's a Mary fan here in Martha and Mary? Who loves Mary? All right, and who are the Martha fans? Raise your hand. Yeah. You know who Martha reminds me of? Martha Stewart. You know, Martha Stewart would be the one who wants to do things right, but not necessarily always do the right thing. You know? It's more substance, it's more how you look than how you actually feel. That's Martha. Mary, on the other hand, now I don't want to jade you in any way, but Mary, on the other hand, seems to always get all of the applause. Because where is Mary in this story? She's at the foot of Jesus. How could anybody fault her? If you were putting on the dinner, though, as Martha was, as Mary was supposed to be, you could understand where the frustration comes on the part of Martha. Mary, what's the matter with you? Why are you just sitting there? Why don't you help me serve this dinner? Now, my mother's sitting right here, so this we'll just kind of act like she's not here. But Thanksgiving every year, you know, Thanksgiving every year is at my mother's house. I think that maybe the last 2 years were the only time it wasn't. But who does all of the work on Thanksgiving? Running around the kitchen? And most of us come into the kitchen and say, Mom, is there anything we can do? And she said, no, go on out there and sit down and relax. And she's running around, you know, making sure everything is all set. Now, I want to tell you, my mother is not Martha in any way, shape, or form. My mother would have found a way to not only sit at Jesus' feet, but to cook a three-course meal while she was sitting at Jesus' feet. But in this story, we have two characters here. And the reason why we have two is so that we will try to struggle with the idea of which is the better path. And who does Jesus say chose the better path? Who is it? Mary. He says, Mary, you have chosen. He says it to Martha. Martha, Mary has chosen the better portion. Well, as I mentioned to you about anxiety, it's one of the hallmarks of our society, you know. Daily, we are preoccupied with such things as like money and possessions and this mindless pleasures or having control over others' lives. And it's stressful. It's a stressful way of life. And so today here, I want to try to relieve some of that stress. I want you to turn to the person next to you and let them know that they are radiant in your view. Tell them, you are radiant in my view. Now, how many of you felt truthful when you said that? You know, radiance doesn't always show on the outside. Radiance sometimes comes from within. In fact, According to the definition, radiance always comes from within. And so what we want to show is not only our radiant side, but our radiant being. And when we choose the good portion, that radiant being comes out. So, you see, Kelvin Roberts of the National Speakers Association said that when my father missed a plane, he caught another one. When my grandfather missed a train, he caught the one the next day. Now, can you imagine us thinking that way today? If we miss an airplane or we miss a train or we miss an appointment, we think the entire day, perhaps the week, is over. In fact, some of us think that our lives are over, rather than realizing that God provides for us each and every day a new beginning. Whatever happened to those sorts of feelings of knowing that God was with us at all times and in all places? Children, I love. You know why I love children? Children have this remarkable talent for not giving the adult world the kind of respect that we are so confident it ought to be given. Children are wonderful. To be irritations of authority figures of all sorts, children expend considerable energy in clowning around. I love it. You know, the text from Ecclesiastes says there is a time for everything. That's when I found out what maturity truly was when you began to realize what time it was. But I have to tell you, there are those times when junior high just sort of comes right to the forefront of my brain. And I want to clown around. And I don't think that's ever at a time that's inappropriate, but maybe irritating to some people. But I think it's choosing the better portion. For children, you see, are called upon by Jesus Christ in a special way. Jesus said that anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Jesus also said that the person who humbles themselves like a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, today's gospel lesson, Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem, where he will live out his final hours, and a woman named Martha welcomes him into her home. Martha has a sister named Mary. Martha is distracted with much serving, the scripture says. The gospel writers tell us she is determined to be a good hostess. Now, you know you're going to be in trouble with that, right? If you're determined to be a good hostess, how much joy could you possibly find in that? An honored guest has come into the house, and he must be given the proper reception. Everything in Martha's mind is to be perfect. I'm one who strives for mediocrity every day. Martha says it must be perfect, or there is nothing good that will take place here. Everything is to be perfect. Nothing can be left undone. And on the other hand, Martha's sister Mary, she is simply eager. She's eager to listen to Jesus' words, and instead of puttering around, she assumes the attitude of a disciple before her teacher by sitting at the Lord's feet. Now, how could we ever criticize Mary for sitting at Jesus' feet? Follow along with me. At this point, we can almost feel the tension as Martha, apparently running herself ragged, says to Jesus, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." Can you imagine Martha saying to our Lord, "Tell Mary to get off her duff and come and help me"? Whereupon Jesus answers, "Martha, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and you are troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion." Now, the sad part of that is that probably Jesus should have added, "For now." Mary has chosen the good portion for now. Because if Mary simply sat at Jesus' feet and listened to his words and memorized everything that Jesus had to say and realized what Jesus' mission was, but never walked away from Jesus' feet, would she be the perfect disciple? Not at all. You see, faith without action is like expecting roses without rain. Mary is doing well at this point in listening, in gathering information. But there must come a point when people in church on this side of the pulpit and on that side of the pulpit find their ways out of this air-conditioned sanctuary and into a world that is anxious and in need of love, mercy, and ministry. And so today, as you get up and you leave this sanctuary, I certainly hope that you will think about Mary and Martha and where you are. If you're ready to begin the ministry, or if you still feel a need to sit at Jesus' feet and say, not me, I just will learn about it. What's happening here in our gospel story is not that Jesus being contemptuous of the household task involved in preparing a meal for an honored guest. I mean, Jesus knows that Martha needs some help. Rather, it's that Martha's focus has shifted. Be careful, watch this. And she is confusing means with ends. At first, the important thing is to serve Jesus, give him a proper reception. But then Martha's emphasis is away from Jesus, away from the Lord. And it focuses on the project itself. If her project is to succeed, Mary must help. And even Jesus must help by using his authority to get Mary to help. Martha is no longer serving the Lord. Her primary concern is that she herself will succeed in being a super hostess. Martha has not chosen the good portion. You see, some projects within the church take on a life of their own. It is truly the difference between doing things right and doing the right thing. The church is never called to do things right. We are called to always to do the right thing. Well, Martha would never let her husband, if she was married, I think, sit down with four friends to snack and drink and watch a football game in peace. I think she would fix several dips, offer samples of her preserves, run out to the grocery store twice, lay out a buffet, and interrupt the game watchers at least twice every 10 minutes to urge them to try a little of this or something, a little bit of that. And she would stand right in front of the TV set to empty all the ashtrays. Martha would be a pain in the neck. Martha, if her child stayed home with a cold, would drown him with chicken soup and give him frequent exercise and fluff up his pillow, take his temperature hourly, and pay so much attention that he'd be overjoyed when he went back to school with runny nose and coop and it all. If she were a working woman, she not only would keep her home magnificently, but anyone for whom she was a secretary would be afraid to clear his or her throat lest she appear in the doorway to serve. Anyone who happened to work for Martha would likely find themselves being done for instead of doing. If I read her right, my friends, Martha is just the woman to drive any other man or woman in her household to distraction with the bustling and the fussing and the pot rattling. And you know what? I love her. I love her. I think I've loved every Martha I've ever known. Most of the time, the pot rattling is because they are busy with something that says, I am concerned about you. Or I want to please you. Or I love you. And even when it's the kind for effect to have someone notice how busy they are, how hard they're working, even then, it's because they want to be loved and I am usually ready to oblige. I love Martha. When Martha came in and wanted Mary to help her, Jesus' answer was not exactly a scolding, because Martha wasn't doing something bad in contrast to something good that Mary was doing. It was simply that she was too busy doing too many things for the occasion, and worse, being anxious about it. Does that sound familiar to any of you as you face tomorrow? Having so many things to do that you've forgotten what the good portion truly is. Now, I'm inclined to think that Jesus may very well have been closer to Martha than to Mary, even though Mary appears the closer. Remember that among the male disciples, the one Jesus seemed to have the most trouble with was Peter, and he was the one that they chose to be the chief of the apostles. If we take Mary as the symbol of a Christian at prayer and Martha as a symbol of a Christian at work, and we leave it at that, we are making too simplistic of approach to this scripture. You see, God requires prayer and then action. And prayer comes first. That is the better part, as Jesus put it. Prayer underlines, undergirds, nourishes everything that we do. Everything that we do. The real lesson of the Martha-Mary story, I think, is that we act appropriately. A time for everything. There was a time to listen to God. There was a time to serve His creatures. If we spend all of our time listening to God, we don't have any opportunity to do things for people. If we spend all of our time doing, we get lost and burned out because action without grace is terribly inefficient. Action without grace, listen to me closely, action without grace. Did he say action without grace? Action without grace is terribly ineffective. When I come into the pulpit, if my primary goal is to try to deliver a perfect sermon rather than to serve the Lord, you see, I have not chose the good portion. When you come into church, if your primary goal is to be perfectly pious rather than to serve the Lord, then you've not chosen the good portion. In your relationships with one another, if your primary goals are to succeed in controlling and dominating and manipulating rather than to serve the Lord, then you haven't chosen the good portion. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful, Christ says. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her. Not your ego, not your pride, not your vanity, not your ambition, not your covetousness, not your self-indulgence, not your self-pity, not your anxieties, but Jesus Christ at the center of your life. That is the one thing that is needful. That is the good portion, you see. Wonderful story a friend of mine told me. He had spent some time in the military and remembered his drill sergeant from the Marine Corps. For those of you who have ever been in the military, you know that when you're in the Marine Corps, each question starts with sir and ends with sir. Sir, may I stand up, sir? Like that. Well, he had a 3-year-old daughter at the time, and he decided that he would try to sort of show her a new way. She had been getting a little sassy. 3-year-old? She had been getting a little sassy. And so he taught her to start everything with sir and to end everything with sir. Sir, may I go out to play? Sir, sir, the boys are picking on me. Sir. Later, he told me he had to go to a drugstore to pick up a prescription, and he invited little Julie to go along with him. She sat in the back seat, as she should, and about halfway to the destination, he said, I felt these little hands on the back of my neck, and he heard the statement, sir, I love you, sir. And he said, that did it. I quickly changed routines and learned another lesson. I want to remind you that children have a remarkable talent for not giving the adult world the kind of respect, God bless them, that we are so confident it ought to be given. If we were to become more childlike, our concerns might not be so monumental, huh? Often we can learn from those that we try to teach. In fact, if you never have learned anything from anyone that you ever tried to teach, chances are you haven't taught very much. Anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Anyone who humbles themselves like a child is greatest in the kingdom of God. And like Martha in the gospel story, we are anxious and we're troubled by many things. One thing is needful, my friends. Jesus is telling us right now, in a childlike fashion, trustingly, humbly, lovingly, sit at the Lord's feet and listen to his teachings like Mary does in the gospel. Choose the good portion, in Jesus' words, and it shall not be taken away from you. Choose the good portion so that you may say from the heart in a very childlike fashion, Lord, Lord, I love you, Lord. Martha, Martha, you worry so very much. Can you hear the Lord maybe speaking to you today? Why don't you relax a little bit? Hopefully, when you put your head down tonight, you don't have to worry about something crashing into your brain this morning. I told my mother I didn't know if I would be able to go on to preach after being injured. I made it through, Mom. It's all right. Hardly left a scar. You'll be hearing from my lawyer in the morning. The Martha and Mary story makes an important point for those of us who worry and fret so much about everything. We get so involved in what we are doing that often we forget why we are doing it. We get so involved in our chosen lifestyle that often we forget why we are living. We get so involved in accumulating things money can buy that often we forget the things that money can't buy. In talking, we forget to listen. Doing things right, we forget about doing the right thing, and we turn wonders of this world into worries, and joys into chores. If that sounds familiar to any of you today, the wonder of God's life for us is that we all have a chance to change that. And so today, as we leave this place, I hope you'll do so with an idea of there's some work to be done. I want to thank you for the privilege of being able to speak to Redford Aldersgate Church, to be able to come and to share the message of Martha and Mary, the book of Ecclesiastes, to let others know of the joy that I have in my heart for the church as a district superintendent, and for the good job that Redford Aldersgate is doing in sharing the good news. I hope that you'll let Pastor Jeff know that today the gospel was preached, you heard it, and you're not ready to just simply sit and listen anymore, but to move beyond this place called a sanctuary, to move beyond this place to take the good portion and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, let's bow our heads. O loving and gracious God, what a joy it is to be able to come to a loving, caring, engaged congregation, to be able to share the message of Jesus Christ and to know that it is heard, to call upon your Spirit today, O God, and to know that it is here making changes in all of our lives. Lord God, we are a thankful people, thankful for the gift of Easter, thankful for the gift of the fullness that we find in the empty tomb. We're thankful for those that gather about us today, but most of all, O God, for the gift upon the cross that we realize each and every moment. Be with us, strengthen us, let us know of your patience, your tolerance, and your understanding in all that we might try to do. Stay with us now as only you can. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.